Today is Father's Day. It's a day to honor those men who helped to bring you into this world and hopefully help to train you so that you've become the adults that you are. Children, those are your dads. They can't do everything, but they do all that they can, I pray, to demonstrate their love for you. Today, I want us to look at an Old Testament passage of Scripture and an Old Testament character that is near and dear to my heart. He's a man who loved God, who loved God's people, and who loved being a daddy, who made some important fatherly decisions. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. We'll look together beginning in verse 14 in just a few moments. You'll recall that Joshua was the man who assumed the leadership role over the nation of Israel as Moses, the great and respected leader, faded off of the scene. The entire first generation of doubters, those who had feared to go in and claim the promised land because there were giants in the land, that entire generation has passed off of the earthly scene, only to remain Joshua and Caleb. These two men went with the other 10 spies into the land. They saw the land was as God has promised. They testified, "Let's go claim the land. If God is for us, no one can stand against us." Tragically, that first generation followed the leadership of the 10 cowards. But now, as we approach the 24th chapter of Joshua, the Israelites have experienced wonderful victories as they marched into the land of Canaan. One by one, God has miraculously drove out the inhabitants of the land and handed them the cities that he had promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Life for the Israelites in the promised land is just getting underway. As they transition from a transient lifestyle experienced for 40 years in Kadesh Barnea to the comfort and security of a place called home, Joshua calls the people of Israel together for a final meeting, a meeting to challenge them and instruct them concerning the commands of God so that their days might be long in the land that God had promised them. I want us to read together beginning in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24. If you would stand in respect and reverence for the word of God and in awe of the message that Joshua proclaims to his generation that is appropriate for our generation today. Joshua says, beginning in verse 14, "Therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors, the gods that they worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord Yahweh alone. Now, if that doesn't please you to worship the Lord, then you choose for yourselves today the one you will worship, the gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." Then the people replied, "We will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. For the Lord our God brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, the place of slavery, and performed great signs before our eyes. He also protected us all along the way that we went among all the peoples of whose lands we traveled through. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will worship the Lord because he is our God." Then Joshua told the people, "You will not be able to worship the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not remove your transgressions and sins if you abandon the Lord and worship foreign gods. He will turn against you and harm you and completely destroy you after he has been so good to you." "No," the people answered Joshua, "we will worship the Lord." Then Joshua told the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you yourselves have chosen to worship the Lord." "We are witnesses," they said. "Then get rid of all the foreign gods that are among you and offer your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." So the people said to Joshua, "We will worship the Lord our God and obey Him. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I've looked at this passage of Scripture a number of times in the light of Joshua as a national leader. And undoubtedly, he was a man of great character, great courage, great strength. I admire Joshua as a national leader. But as I was thinking about today and preparing for this day several weeks ago, I began to think, what about Joshua as a daddy? What about Joshua as a father? And that's what I want us to look at in light of the verses that we've read this morning. Joshua's role as a daddy, the spiritual leader in his home. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture and think of him not as the national leader so much as the daddy. I want you to notice that as we read these words, that Joshua shared wisdom from his past as he stood before his peers and as he stood before his children. And we didn't read the first 14 verses of the chapter, but I would encourage you this afternoon, take a few minutes to read the entire chapter. Put it all into its proper context. But those first 14 verses are a condensed account of the miraculous way that God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the land of captivity, right up to the border of the promised land under that great leader named Moses. In this Cliff Notes account, if you would, Joshua reviews the many miracles that God performed to bring them to the border of the promised land. He reminds the people, he reminds his children, he reminds his family of the great plagues that God used to soften the heart of Pharaoh so that he would eventually let God's people go. He reminded them of that critical moment at the Red Sea when before them was this vast body of water and behind them was an angry, encroaching Egyptian army. He reminds them of how God parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross on dry ground. And then when they had all arrived safely at the other side of that body of water and the Egyptians pursued them, how God closed the waters, drowning horses and men. He reminds them of the pillar of fire that led them by night out of Egypt and the pillar of cloud that led them by day and how it directed them right to the place that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reminded them of God's provisions for their necessities as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness of Kadesh Barnea. He reminded them of all of these good things, but he also reminded them of the failures and the expense of those failures when their forefathers failed to trust God. You see, Joshua used the events of his past to teach the generations to come the importance of serving and obeying God in the present and the future. Listen to me, dads in the congregation this morning. God has gifted you with one thing your children don't yet have. He's gifted you with the history of your past. And everything that's happened to you in your lifetime can help you to teach your children so that they might have a better life because you have allowed them to learn from your experiences. You see, your kids are just now beginning their journey through this experience called life. But you've traveled at least 19 or 20 years ahead of them. Some of you many more miles ahead of them. And I don't care what age your children are. Dads, they can still use some experience from you. You're never beyond the point of the place where you can be an influence on that son or that daughter. I will tell you that at the point when Joshua shared this story, he was over 100 years old. And still influencing his family, still influencing the generations that would follow. Wise is the daddy who will use the experience of his past to help chart a better course for his children and for the generations that will follow. Listen, hear me, dads. Any dads here, don't raise your hand. It's rhetorical questions. Are there any dads in this room this morning who made a mistake or two along life's journey? A mistake or two that you would to God that you would have never made that choice and you're embarrassed every time you think about it. Do you realize those mistakes may be the exact lessons that your kids need to learn. And because you've already been down that road, perhaps you could teach them through your mistakes so they won't have to travel that road. Are there some dads here who are proud of the successes you've experienced in life? Has God blessed you as you've walked with Him through the journey, faithfully following His instructions? Every success is the result of the benevolent grace of God, your Father. And you can take every successful experience and translate it into a life lesson for your sons and your daughters to grow from and to grow through. Joshua, as we read this text, relates to them the history and the way that God was involved in the lives of His people to that very moment so that they could make wise choices in the future. Dads and moms, big brothers, big sisters, God has gifted you with a history for a purpose. Everything that's happened to you in your past can be used to help others to grow to the place where they're willing to serve the Lord God and Him alone. Don't be ashamed to use your history in order to lead others into a deeper, more committed relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, Joshua reinforced this truth. Listen to me, dads. This may be the toughest part of the sermon, but I need you to hear it. I've got you where I want you. I want you to hear this. You need to teach the truth that children, there are choices to be made, and with each choice will come critical consequences. As spiritual leaders in your homes, daddies, I believe one of your greatest responsibilities is to teach your children how to make wise choices. You need to help them from the earliest stages possible to understand that with each choice made, there are consequences. With good choices, they'll ultimately receive blessings. With poor choices, they will encounter troubles and trials and hardships. The ultimate goal of every father, the ultimate goal of every parent should be to train up your children in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they'll not depart from that path. That's our goal. Joshua's speech was probably received with anger from a few of his listeners because he spoke with such directness. He warned that if they didn't change, and if they didn't choose to serve God alone, that judgment was in their future. But Joshua spoke with candor and left the people to make their choices. And as they made them their choices, he wanted them to realize your choice will come with consequences. If you choose to worship the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you choose to follow Him alone, serve Him alone, blessings will follow. If you try to compromise your faith, Joshua said, you'll see the judgment of God. Now listen, I pray that every parent here will be honored by the Lord with a wonderful, loving relationship with your children from birth, right on through adolescence, even through those advanced teen years. But listen to me. Your highest calling as a parent is not to be their best friend. I don't know what's happened in this generation, but moms and dads refuse to grow up, and instead of being parents, they want to be the best friend to their kids. I want them to love you. I want you to love them. I don't think there should be a more intimate relationship between two individuals other than husband and wife, than parents and kids. But you've not been called to be their best friends. You've been called to be their spiritual leaders. Listen, the reality is we need parents who will help their kids learn to make wise choices, understanding that with every choice they make, there are consequences that follow. And listen to me, parents. Here's one that I've seen really diminish in my lifetime. As a parent, while you're teaching them that they have to make choices and choices yield consequences, when the consequences come, it's not your job to bail them out. You see, Bad choices result in bad consequences. And if you take the consequences on, they're not going to learn. You've got to help them to understand that if you make a bad choice and there's a bad consequence, I'm going to love you through it, but you're going to pay the price. I've been down that road and I didn't like it. But I love my kids enough that I wanted them to understand. You make bad choices, the consequences are bad, you're going to have to pay the price. I'll be there with you, I'll love you through it, but the cost is yours. As Joshua stood before this nation, this second generation of Israelites out of the gates of Egypt, the second generation of the Exodus, he wanted them to understand something. I can't make you serve God, but I can tell you, if you choose not to serve him, judgment is in the gates. We need to teach our children the importance of making wise decisions, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, so that they might understand that to serve God is the only road to spiritual blessings. And to choose to forsake him is a road to judgment. Yes, he's a God of love, but he is a righteous God. And he will judge us. He will allow troubles and trials to come into our lives until we do come back to him and allow him to take priority place in our life, first place in our life as his followers. I know it's not easy, but it's a part of the training and the growing process of raising our children to be responsible adults. Reinforce the truth that there are choices to be made and choices yield certain consequences. Third thing I want you to see in the last thing this morning, daddies and congregation as well. Joshua was willing to assert his leadership in the household. I suppose the most oft quoted, the most oft recited words from the entire book of Joshua are those recorded in the latter portion of the 15th verse, where Joshua stands before his peers and before his family and declares, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua asserted his God-given authority as the spiritual leader for his household. He made a familial choice that in his house, the Lord was going to be worshiped. Dads, there are some choices the Bible has charged you to make as the father and leader in your home. From my study of God's Word in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, I am deeply convicted and absolutely convinced that God intends for you as a father to take the role of leadership when it comes to spiritual matters in your home. You must lead the way. You must clearly demonstrate spiritual leadership, equipping your kids to make good decisions based on biblical principles and godly examples seen in your life, lived out in your example. God, in his divine wisdom, has chosen you, daddies. He's enlisted you, fathers, for that very purpose, to be, catch this word, the priest in your home. There are some decisions that you need to make for the spiritual welfare of your family. Now, you cannot work out their salvation for them. That is a personal choice each son and daughter will have to make. But you are obligated to lead them faithfully to the place where they can learn and prepare to make those decisions for themselves. I grew up in a very healthy spiritual home, and for that I'm so grateful. I wasn't a perfect child, but I came as close as you can get to having the perfect mom and dad. They loved the Lord with all their heart. They served him alone. He held first place in their lives through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, through joy and through hardship. But we learned real young that there were some spiritual choices that had already been made for us. For instance, never did my parents let me choose whether or not I'd be going to church with them. Can I be real honest with you? I was good at playing hooky from school. I didn't like school. Now, children, you probably shouldn't listen to this, but I was good at playing hooky from school. I could go to my mom and say, "I don't feel good. I don't want to go to school today." "Okay, go to your room, go back to bed." "Cool, I'll just sleep off the day." But on Sunday morning, If I got up and said, I don't feel like going to church today, I'm sick. Pardon the grammar. But my dad said, if you're not throwing up, son, if you don't have a bowel problem, you're going to church. Get your clothes on, let's go. That's just the rules. You didn't miss church. Every time the doors of the church were open, mom and dad and their brood of eight kids walked through that front door and found our place in the pew. It wasn't a choice. We didn't get a choice. My three children realized real quick, you don't get a choice. When the doors of the church are open, the only thing I didn't have to go to was WMU, and I hadn't figured out yet how I got out of that. Didn't have to go to WMU, but I had to go to everything else. You know, at the time, I don't know that I appreciated it like I do today. Now I look back and I know my mama and my daddy loved me enough not to send me to church, but to lead me to church. They made that choice for me. Do you know my mom and dad didn't make me choose whether or not I was going to have a daily devotion time, whether I was going to read the Bible daily and have prayer daily? They didn't let me choose that. My mom and dad said, this is the hour we're going to meet as a family in the living room. You kids, whatever you're doing tonight. I mean, this is all the way to the day I married Sheila. This is the time we'll be in the living room tonight. We're going to have our family devotional. Meet us there. Every night, from the time I guess I was about in the fourth grade until the time I married my wife, I met with my mom and dad in our living room, and either mom and dad read us a verse of scripture, we talked about the scripture, and then either my mom or my dad would pray for us and then send us off to bed. It wasn't a choice. They made that choice for us, that we were going to study the Word of God, that we were going to learn from the Word of God, that we were going to learn to be faithful, to pray for one another. Guys, there's some choices that you can make for your family that can yield eternal dividends. Let me encourage you. Make those choices. Be the spiritual leader that God has called you to be. There are some choices we must make for our kids. And just as you'd never let them choose whether or not they're going to go to school, just as you would never let them choose whether or not they're going to take on physical nourishment, just as you wouldn't allow them to choose whether or not they're going to practice good hygiene. Going to church, getting spiritual nourishment, and pursuing righteousness and holiness shouldn't be optional for children in a Christian home. Dads, you lead the way. It's Father's Day. The greatest father of all is our Father who's in heaven, who loves us unconditionally, who calls us to the place of righteousness and repentance. Dads, the greatest assignment you have on earth is to model the love and the righteousness of your Heavenly Father. You can do that even though you've had mistakes in your past. You see, you can use those to serve as lesson plans for future generations. Let your successes serve as life lessons pointing to the greatness and the generosity of the God that we serve. Lead your children to make good and wise choices and love them through the consequences, but don't take away the consequences. That's part of the growth and learning process. And you be the leader that God has called you to be. Dads, on this Father's Day 2013, I'm challenging you. I don't care what age your kids are. I'm challenging this man right here. It's time for us to step up to the plate. The place where God has called us to be and to assume the role as spiritual leaders in our homes. Make the choice and lead your family in the commitment, like Joshua, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Nothing less. We'll do. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you're a father or a dad here this morning, would you stand to your feet? Nobody else is looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just dads, fathers, would you stand? I want to pray for you this morning, if I could have that privilege. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these men that you've gifted with the priceless gifts of offspring. Father, you've entrusted to them the future of their family. You've entrusted in these men the future of our city and our state and our national government. You've entrusted in these men the hope for tomorrow, because they are the producers of the next generation. Father, I pray that they've not given up on the task that's before them. That no matter their age, whether they're raising little bitty infant boys and girls, or whether they have fully mature men and women as sons and daughters, I pray that you would instill in them this desire to be the greatest spiritual role model they could possibly be. I pray, Father, that you'd use them to point their children and their grandchildren to the truth that joy in life is really experienced only when first and foremost we give our hearts and lives to Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And then we live out our faith that the world might see Jesus in us. Use these men in a powerful way as we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Wiley Baptist, do our utmost to begin a turning point in our church, in our community, in our nation, in our world, bringing your people back to worshiping you, you alone, in spirit and in truth. Bless these men. Use them for your glory. Call them to be priests in their home, guiding and directing their kids, their wives, in the direction that you'd have them to go as godly families. This is my prayer. Would the rest of you stand with the fathers now? We come to the invitation time, and never do I want to close without giving you an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus...